So, sheep and goats. As I've already said, I did have a bit of a sinking feeling when the lectionary turned up this reading for me to preach on this morning. Not only is it a story that a lot of people will have heard dozens of sermons about already, I'm sure, but it also draws our attention to that final day of judgment, when Jesus returns and our entry into heaven, eternity in his company, is confirmed or not. Not a particularly easy topic to explore, especially perhaps for somebody on the lay preaching team who's not had all that training to back me up. But never mind. I believe that it's good to explore all of Scripture, not just the familiar and comfortable bits, but some of the difficult bits as well. So here we go. Let's have a look. Let's understand a little bit of the setting and context for this passage. So this story of sheep and goats is referred to, it's characterized as a parable. But we can see straight away that it's different from most other parables, because it doesn't relate to a story of events happening to fictional characters. If you think about the parable of the Good Samaritan for a moment, then we're introduced to different characters in that story, aren't we? There's the person who gets beaten up on the road. We're introduced to a Levite and a priest, and then, of course, the Samaritan. There's even an innkeeper, a hotel keeper, isn't there? There are characters. It's told very much as a story. And this is a little bit different. This story is only found in Matthew's Gospel. And it comes at the end of what we know of Christ's teaching on the Mount of Olives. Every day is a school day, somebody once said to me. While I was preparing for this, I discovered that those teachings of Jesus on the Mount of Olives, by brainy, theologically trained people, they're called Jesus's Olivet Discourse. So now you've all learned something this morning. So this comes at the end of Jesus's Olivet Discourse and immediately precedes his account, this is Matthew's account of Jesus's passion and resurrection. The verses directly address, in Jesus's own words, one of the most challenging questions in our Christian theology: who goes to heaven and why? Matthew paints a vivid picture of Jesus standing outside the temple in Jerusalem, telling his followers about his second coming. The irony couldn't have been greater. As Israel is in the process almost of rejecting the first coming of Jesus, he speaks to them about his second coming. Jesus begins the parable by telling his listeners and readers in verse 1 that it deals with his glorified return so that he can set up his kingdom. In a nutshell, everyone will be brought before the Lord when he'll separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The sheep are those who are saved and are recognized by their kind and generous behavior to others. And the goats are the unsaved people, not displaying loving behavior to others. And they will be cast down as a result of Messiah's judgment. Let's just think about the animals for a moment. In arid lands, goats and sheep often grazed together during the day because there wasn't much pasture to go round. There wasn't much green grass. And so the goats and the sheep both need to eat the same stuff. So they would be dealt with almost as one herd one flock during the day. But at night they were separated because goats needed more shelter and they were less docile and more restless than the sheep. So the shepherd would split them up at night time. And the poor old goats, they got a bit of a bad reputation because they came to represent evil. They were a little bit more full of life and a little bit more, you know, bullish, as it were. And they came to represent evil. And if we add to that the fact that today we use the expression scapegoat, then perhaps we can start to see a little bit more of that. The story of the scapegoat is in Leviticus 26, if you want to look that up when you get home. That was the ritual expulsion of a goat that's had all of the sin put onto it, and then it's sent out into the wilderness. That all happened on the Day of Atonement. So you can, as I say, you can look that up in Leviticus if you want to. So this story then, with the connotations of good and evil, well, it would have unsettled Jesus' audience. Now, at this point, I want to call out a bit of an issue with this reading, a possible mistake, a pitfall, a trap that we could fall into. The list of good deeds found in verses 35 and 36, you will remember them. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me a drink. A stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. Ill, and you looked after me. In prison, and you came to visit. Well, that's not a to-do list that if you follow it and tick all those things off, then you've got a guaranteed place in heaven. That's not what it is. Jesus tells us that it's impossible for us to obtain salvation by our own strength. There's a quote from Matthew chapter 19, just following the story about how hard it is for a rich person to get into heaven. And it says, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Although the sheep acted charitably, giving food and drink and clothing to the needy, while the goats showed no charity, this doesn't mean that the sheep earned their salvation. Rather, their actions are a consequence of their relationship with God and his love overflowing from them as they live day to day filled by the Spirit. So we just need to watch out for that. It's worth noting that, indeed, did you spot it? The sheep don't even notice that they've done anything right. There's that little bit in the reading. When did we see you hungry? When did we visit you in prison? Don't even remember that. So it's clear that they weren't working down a checklist. And their choices weren't as a result of just, you know, striving hard to do more good stuff to earn enough credits to ensure salvation. God's grace and God's love, and they are the things that ensure our salvation, not working harder, doing more stuff. The stuff happens because of our relationship with God, and it's that way round. So the point that Jesus was making, and it was true then and it's true today, is that God's people will love others. Our good works will likely result from our relationship to and collaboration with the shepherd. Christ followers are encouraged and expected to treat everyone with kindness, serving them as if they were serving Christ himself. Sadly, those who refuse to repent and associate with the shepherd sometimes even professing to know God, while they live in the opposite manner. There's a verse in Titus chapter 1, and it talks about people like that. People, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So while goats are certainly capable, technically, of performing acts of kindness and charity, their relationship with God isn't sincere, isn't meaningful, and so they don't. Their actions fail to have any right purpose, the right purpose of honouring and worshipping God. Our acceptance of salvation through Christ is demonstrated by our actions. Those who accept God's gift of salvation will repent and will serve God through their actions. While I was writing that, I just looked up again the definition of repent. And I think it's important that we just remind ourselves there. If you look up to repent in the dictionary, verb, feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. So far, so good. I think we'd all come up with that, wouldn't we? But there's only a comma there, not a full stop, and it goes on to say, thereafter making permanent change in action and thoughts. Just leave that with you as a side note. Sometimes we think of repenting, we think of saying sorry. We prayed a sorry prayer earlier on. And we can sometimes just think, well, that's enough. But let's remember that second part of that definition. Thereafter, once we've said sorry, thereafter, making permanent change in action and thoughts. Then our behaviour will express God's love, because we will be living as he wants us to. So, in these final words about his second coming, Jesus tells us plainly that he'll separate the sheep from the goats. On that day when he'll judge us individually, our opinions about ourselves won't matter. Only his opinion will matter. That'll be the day when Jesus will set people aside for eternal reward or everlasting punishment, separation from God. We haven't been given these words from Matthew's gospel just to satisfy our curiosity. Instead, like all of the words in the Bible, they're divinely inspired words to offer to us the most important choice we'll ever make, the most vital question that each of us needs to answer. On Judgment Day, will Jesus see us as a sheep or a goat? And what goes for us goes for our friends and family as well. And of course, that's really hard, isn't it? So this morning, as we consider these issues, what I don't want to do is send everybody home with heavy hearts and a feeling of hopelessness. That's not what I'm about at all. But if we're serious about our faith, then being confident about our own salvation is key. And sharing what we know to be true for ourselves with those that we meet in our lives outside of the church building is also vital. When you've been thinking about your week coming up, then not just being kind, doing nice stuff with people and for people, but what about sharing this really, really vital question, sharing some of your faith with them? If we can do this with a hope of sense, but we can do this with hope and a sense of joy and peace, a sense of belonging, if we take the time to stay close to our loving Father in worship and in prayer, reading our Bibles, perhaps listening to Christian music, staying in close fellowship one with another here. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, that's all right, Nick, but we live in difficult times, and living in God's way, that's a huge challenge. Well, just remember that other reading from Ezekiel. God's people were living in challenging times then. They had been scattered, separated from each other. And they were portrayed as weak and injured. They weren't having a great time. The scripture then explains that the good shepherd will gather his sheep together, protect them, give them a safe place to be. So this time, the judgment is between two different sorts of sheep, not sheep and goats. But it's that judgment between the two sorts of sheep that this time decides who remains in God's favour. And it's the weaker sheep that we can understand to represent God's people, struggling to live according to his ways, struggling perhaps to put others first, not always being at the top of the pile. It's those that will be saved. Their wounds being bound up and their weakness strengthened is what the scripture said. And it's the stronger, pushy sheep that are barging everybody out of the way and trying to get their own way, not considering other people. It's those that Ezekiel says will be destroyed. So in this picture of judgment, they will be the ones who spend eternity separated from the love of God. We are none of us perfect, are we? And some days, we're all too aware of that. Me, certainly. But please remember the words of Scripture in Ezekiel that we've just been reminded of. And actually, held within the words of a song that we sang last week. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Jesus, who himself was rejected by those around him during his time on earth, is now the foundation, the cornerstone of our faith and all that is important. So if we trust in him, filled by the Holy Spirit, live in ways that show his love to those around us, then we can have confidence, we can have happy, hopeful hearts. We are living in the way that God intends. And then we leave the rest to him. In God's grace, we will live as he wants us to live. And we'll not need to worry about that day down the line that we've heard about. Friends, I just want you to be encouraged this morning. That God's love is there for us all, and we need to just be sure of our salvation, and we need to let that flow out of us into all we meet in these coming days. Amen.